Oh, and here's my impression of a reality TV star explaining Progressive's discounts. So I was talking to Greg, and he said that Daly knew what Erica said about her when we were all on Marcus's boat. And I was like, what? Wait, first see your drama, because Progressive totes his discounts like Safe Driver, Multi-Policy, and Paid in Full. So it's not like he said, she said, shut up, whatever. So basic, you know?
Discounts to help you save more. Now that's Progressive.
But then he was all, no way, Jose, because his name's Jose. Legit.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, at last, welcome to Terrible Truth Radio Show at Blog Talk Radio with your host, Martha Trowbridge. You were just listening to Glenn Miller and his orchestra, and they were doing a wonderful job with American Patrol, which is the subject of our show tonight. We had a bit of a problem here. I shouldn't say problem, a visit by saboteurs. If you were tuning in an hour ago or so, I apologize for that. But here we are again. And just to contextualize our show tonight, we're going to be studying Glenn Miller, who, when he disappeared in December 1944, when his plane went missing in the English Channel, over the English Channel. He was a major. He was directing the United States Army Air Force Band. You probably, if you have a familiarity with 1940s swing music, 1930s and 40s, you probably know who Glenn Miller is. So to contextualize our show tonight, I'd like to play a clip that was produced on May 1st, 1945. Lots of good information here, although the main message that Adolf Hitler was dead is not correct. So here we have a production by, let me just see. Well, anyway, I'll play it and I'll get you the credit in a moment. Thank you.
Hitler is dead. He is dead, and how he died, the world little cares. For Hitler's death, millions have paid, and millions are now thankful for justice. 1920, Hitler began. He was considered just a joke then, a raving crackpot. 1933, Hitler made chancellor. The world hoped he would bring order. He brought catastrophe. A Hitler gang planned world conquest. Rudolf Hess, now insane in England, Heinrich Himmler, mass murderer, and Goering. Hitler promised Germany the world. Germany listened, but the world ignored the threat.
Ready to leave it!
Hitler poses as humanitarian, but Hitler even then was planning war and the death of countless children. The Munich year. At Berchtesgaden, there was appeasement. The sacrifice of Czechoslovakia, Poland, Norway, the European bloodbath. Hitler's greatest triumph. It was the fall of France, a dark day for the civilized world. The famous Hitler intuitions had clicked till now. But mad with power, he made two mistakes. He did not invade England, and he did invade Russia. There will be no monuments to Hitler, but there are many monuments to Hitler. Millions of monuments. A dead child in London's Blitz. The dead and the living dead, wherever the monster's bloody fascist hand is struck. For civilization, you hope for life. But this man's ideas are dead.
So that short newsreel, which was video with audio, as you heard, was narrated by Gregory Abbott and Don Lyon. It was released May 1st, 1945, as you heard, proclaiming Hitler was dead. Now, how does that tie in? Well, there was one line in particular there whereby they referred to Hitler's proudest day, which was the day he conquered France. And there is a photo, many of you may have seen that iconic photo of him with his back to the camera and the Eiffel Tower in the distance. This may be a clue to this whole Glenn Miller story in the sense that, as many of you World War II buffs know, in 1943, I believe, Paris was liberated by the Americans. So at the time of Glenn Miller's disappearance in December 15th, 1944, he was en route for the U.S. Army Air Force Band from England over to Paris, I believe, was his destination to entertain the Allied troops. And this is very interesting because his plane took off the day before the beginning of Hitler's, what we may call his last hurrah of World War II, which was the Ardennes Offensive, otherwise known as Battle of the Bulge. So anyway, Glenn Miller's plane goes missing. Did Hitler have anything to do with it? That's the question for tonight. So let's look at just, we gave a brief overview of Glenn Miller, who he is and how he came to disappear. tonight, let's look at how Adolf Hitler very likely viewed Glenn Miller. I'm going to play a song Glenn recorded in 1942, which was written by the famous composer Irving Berlin, and it's called When That Man Is Dead and Gone. So I will go look for this here and play that next. I'm sure Hitler was not very happy about this song. So just a moment, please. Here we have 1941, Glenn Miller and his orchestra, When That Man Is Dead and Gone.
A plan, dressed as a man, walking the earth, and since he began,
the world is hell for you and me.
But what a heaven it will be
when that man is dead and gone. When that man is dead and gone,
we'll go dancing down the street, kissing everyone we meet when that man is dead and gone.
What a day to wake up on, what a way to greet the dawn.
Some fine day the news will flash, Satan with a small mustache is asleep beneath the lawn.
When that man is dead and gone. What a happy way to greet the dawn.
Some fine day the news will flash, Satan with a small mustache is asleep beneath the lawn.
When that man is dead
and gone.
When that certain man is dead and gone, long gone.
When that man is dead and gone.
So it doesn't take much imagination to get a sense of Hitler's Adolf Hitler. I'm trying to train myself to pronounce his name as the Germans would. To imagine what his reaction would have been to a popular song like that in the United States, recorded and made popular by none other than Glenn Miller. So I'd like to step back in time. That was 1942. I want to just go back a moment, well, actually for a little while, to 1941. Now, Glenn volunteered to serve with the armed forces. It took him until 1942 to actually be able to do so. He tried with the Navy, and the Navy, as I understand it, was not interested in having him come on board, but the Army Air Force was, and we can talk about that in a moment if we have time. But anyway, going back to 1941, Glenn was very central to a movie entitled Sun Valley Serenade, which co-starred John Payne. Now, where do we know that name? P-A-Y-N-E. That's a central name in the Obama narrative. Madeline Lee Payne, his utterly fake grandmother, was a Payne. Anyway, the co-stars in this film are John Payne of New York City and Sonia Heaney, who was Norwegian from Oslo. She was a champion skier and skater and participated in the 1936 Winter Olympics. Which were held, guess where, in Berlin. The Nazi pride and joy, those 1936 Olympics. They were quite an event. And anyway, Sonja also was a personal guest of Adolf Hitler at the Berghof at Berchtesgaden. So here's Glenn Miller in this movie playing the role of band leader Phil Corey, a fictional character. And there's Sonja and John Payne having a wonderful time out in Sun Valley, Idaho. So I'm sure that does not sit very well with Mr. Hitler, the Führer. That movie, if you haven't seen it, is very delightful. And in fact, it's said that in the last above ground days of the Third Reich, which is actually, it's kind of ironic because they were below ground hiding out in the bunker. Heinrich Himmler was said to have watched that film over and over and over again in the last few weeks of the Reich. So back to, we'll stay in 1941 for a moment. There's a very interesting song that Glenn recorded. He seems to be where all of the action is, doesn't he? And it's entitled, It Happened in Hawaii. So please pay attention to this. I'll play that for you. This is just, let me see, just about 3 minutes. It Happened in Hawaii, recorded by Glenn Miller and his orchestra. So here we go.
It happened. happens that I'm still in love with you.
Okay, so that was It Happened in Hawaii, recorded by Glenn Miller and his orchestra in 1941. I believe this was recorded prior to December 7th, 1941, when the Japanese, in cahoots with Nazi Germany, attacked Pearl Harbor. Now, there are a few things very interesting about this. First of all, keep in mind that AKA Obama, that lovely fake identity, his uncle Fred Newman of New York City, you can find quite a bit about him at my blog, Terrible Truth. Uncle Fred, absolutely, and his mother, AKA Joanne Newman, absolutely love the theater, film, music, and so on. If you listen to those lyrics, you can find it online. There's a wonderful website called jazz-on-line. They've got a great collection of Glenn Miller music, which you can download for free, any of the songs you like. But, pardon me, if you pay attention to those lyrics, it's talking about a couple falling in love on an island in Hawaii. And it really echoes to me the fake Stanley and Dunham love story with Kenyan Barack Obama. It's really amazing the similarities in what the Obama campaign has told us in that totally fake memoir, Dreams of My Father, told us about the mother and his mother and father falling in love. Now, something else is very interesting about this song as well. In 1991, June, which was once the fake identity Barack Obama had been secured, established at Harvard Law School, that's when he graduated, June 1991, this song becomes remastered. Now, we won't get into, and I don't know who did it or why, but it seems very interesting. Because when I was looking into this song, I found out that the remastered version was released on September 24th, 1991. So having studied the Obama conspirators, I'm in my second quarter of my fifth year at this, I looked into this and lo and behold, I found out what was going on September 24th, 1937. If you'll bear with me a moment. Mussolini meets with Adolf Hitler in Germany. So I'm going to read you a bit from a transcript, and you can find this at the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum website. Historical film footage. Mussolini meets with Hitler in Germany, September 24th through 29th in 1937. So when Mussolini, there's a short video clip here, film clip, of 1 minute and 33 seconds. I can't, unfortunately, show it to you on this medium. But anyway, I'll read you this transcript. Excuse me. Germany declares a Roman holiday for Mussolini. The destiny of Europe rides with the dictator of Italy nearing Munich in triumph for his momentous conference with fellow dictator Hitler. The stage is set for the meeting, which means so much to the peace of an entire continent. Now, we're talking 1937, so please keep that in mind. This is history in the making, the handshake of dictatorships. Striding side by side, the two ex-corporals of the World War seem to be in step today. So this is prior to World War II. And the whole world is asking, do they march together for conflict or for peace? Unusual is this mighty demonstration of Teutonic adulation for a modern Caesar. Since the days of other Caesars, the sons of the Rhine and of the Tiber have been natural foes. But for the moment, Rome and Berlin decide to let bygones be bygones. returning Mussolini's hospitality of 3 years ago, 1934, Hitler parades his might for his brother dictator, perhaps to impress Italy as well as the world with his potential strength. For history shows that often the friends of today are the foes of tomorrow. Amid all this martial display, the dictators declare themselves for peace, and an apprehensive world hopes for the best. So this is very interesting that on the day of this hoopla where Mussolini visits Germany, and you know this is right before, actually now that I'm thinking about this, this is the same time period, though several days, where Mussolini makes the famous statement, which is a total lie, that anyone who thinks that Germany and Italy have allied together for war is, you know, pretty much, I'm paraphrasing, of course, is completely crazy because we have no interest in war. Ha ha, we know how that all turned out. Okay, so now I'm going, let me see how much time we have, please. Just a moment, we have just 16 minutes left. I had another interesting experience today with our friends, the Obama conspirators. A day or evening or night with them is never without intrigue or sabotage. And today's vignette, while I was prepping the show, my husband was here and we were talking, and my iTunes, I'm on a Mac computer, hops over to this song, which I had not myself chosen to play. And it's a song that is connected to the expression Tower of Power. So I start my rant and I say, okay, because I know certain individuals listen, and I said, okay, we'll see how long your power lasts, brother, and you know, so on and so forth. So then another song pops up and it says, soon. It's the title. The Obama conspirators love to run around the internet and say they're so proud of themselves, any dot day dot now, when people suggest that maybe their evil empire is going to crumble, they ridicule back and say, oh sure, oh sure. So the song entitled Soon started to play. So I have a response to this little intrusion upon my computer today. And this is my response to my old dear friend, Barry, a.k.a. Barack. What is it now, Barry, coming upon 26 years since the first time ever I saw your face? So here's my response song to him, to you. Let me just see. Here we go. All righty, this is another Glenn Miller recording. And let me see, this was in 1939 when Hitler was just starting to feel his little oats, his military might oats. Thank you.
too. Just like I cried over you. Right to the end. Just like a friend. I tried to warn you somehow. You had your way. Now you must pay. I'm glad that you're sorry now.
Okay, so that was Who's Sorry Now, 1939, recorded by Glenn Miller and his orchestra, 3 years or so, plus or minus, prior to his volunteering to entertain the troops for the United States military. So for all of the boasting and braggadocio by the Obama conspirators that they're so secure in their evil empire and that no one will ever remove them from office, it's very interesting how they run around and sabotage people like you and me to prevent our talking the truth about them. So let's go back to Glenn Miller again, please, since this is his show, a tribute to him, and a little bit of information about how he was seen, very likely seen by Adolf Hitler. The Office of War Information utilized Glenn's work with musical recordings and entertainment very much. He had done recordings in England very shortly before his disappearance, and many of these songs were sung in German. In fact, Glenn spoke in German about the war effort when he was entertaining the troops. And what's very, very typical of a Hitler sort of crime, a wickedly perfect Hitler crime, Glenn did a weekly radio broadcast. He co-wrote a song, I Sustain the Wings. So isn't it fascinating that the wings, the plane, he's in wing, excuse me, a plane disappears, which obviously has wings to transport it. And it just seems to me like a wickedly perfect Hitler crime to have his plane disappear. General Jimmy Doolittle said this of Glenn's Army Air Force Orchestra, and I quote, next to a letter from home, the greatest morale builder in the European theater of operations is the Army Air Force Orchestra, directed by Glenn Miller. Okay, so where are we? I think it's time for Americans to go back on patrol where we left off in the 1940s. Nazism did not die. The Third Reich was not over in May 1945. And in fact, Hitler did not die in 1945. He escaped from the bunker and fled to Argentina, lived there to the best the best estimate is he died on February 13th, 1962. So he lived 17 years longer than the world was led to believe and made much use of that time. That's for another whole show, what was going on. If you're interested in looking into that, there's a marvelous book and documentary film entitled Grey Wolf, which was co-authored by Simon Dunstan, D-U-N-S-T-A-N, and Gerard Williams. They're both out of England. That's G-E-R-R-A-R-D. Williams, W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S. The book was published, Grey Wolf, The Escape of Adolf Hitler, was published in 2011 by Sterling Press in New York. You can find that many places. And if you go on YouTube, there's a wonderful interview of Gerard by Patrick Henningsen, H-E-N-N-I-N-G-S-E-N, a relatively young man who runs, also out of England, he runs the 21st Century Wire. I mistakenly identified his Twitter handle for Patrick. It's at 21st Century Wire, I believe. I inverted that. I'm so accustomed to the Century 21 real estate people, so I apologize for giving the wrong Twitter handle. At any rate, Patrick gives a great interview if you look for that interview of Gerard, and you'll get a real good sense of the work of Gerard and Simon Dunstan on the escape of Adolf Hitler from the bunker. So going back to American Patrol, we really do need to pick up our patrol. I don't have to tell you, if you're listening to this show, that you're very, very much aware of that. So the next song, we're coming toward the end of the show, I'm going to play a little pep song for us. This is called Buckle Down, Winsocky. It's the 400, recorded in 1943 by the 418th Army Air Force Band Captain Glenn Miller. So here we go. Okay, so we're running very quickly out of time. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, Terrible Truth. And I'm going to close with a wonderfully stirring spiritual song, Bing Crosby singing Faith of Our Fathers. Thanks be to God for America, for every patriot. God bless you all. And until our next show, here is Bing Crosby singing Faith of Our Fathers. Thank you so much. I'm Martha Trowbridge.
Faith. beat high with joy whene'er we hear that glorious word.
Faith on our Father's holy faith, we will be true to thee till death.
Our Father's chained in prisons dark, we're still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they, like them, could die for thee.
Faith on our part.
Words and virtuous love.